It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
All right, boys and girls, we are back with another edition of the Ben Domenech Podcast brought to you by Fox News. You can check out all of our podcasts at foxnewspodcast.com. I hope that you will rate, review, and subscribe to this one and share it with your friends if you like what you hear. Today, we have two guests who are both running for the Senate in Arizona. Mark Brnovich is the Attorney General of the state, which he has served for quite some time. He was the odds-on favorite prior to the 2020 election to take this GOP nomination, and probably would have been favored up against incumbent Democrat Senator Mark Kelly. But then there was a lot of strife around the 2020 election regarding the decisions that he made. Ultimately, Donald Trump turned against him in a significant manner. Donald Trump endorsed Blake Masters, who we won't be talking to today. I'll have more to say about that at the end of our two interviews. But we will be talking with Jim Lehman, who is a businessman, mostly through the energy sector, a former Alabama football player and veteran who has been spending his own money, self-funding his way to try to get the GOP nomination. Mark Kelly is someone who is at the top of the list of some of the most vulnerable Democrat members of the U.S. Senate, in part because he has done such a poor job of serving Arizona. He's someone who, unlike his colleague, Kristen Sinema, has been really out of touch with the priorities of Arizonans. He's voted so much closely with Chuck Schumer and with the priorities of Joe Biden that very few people would argue that he represents a moderate approach to governance along the lines of Senator Sinema or Senator Manchin or, you know, a number of other members of the U.S. Senate. Because of this, he's someone who really is top of the list that Republicans think they can overturn a Democrat Senate seat and help take back the majority in the fall. But who he takes on is still an open question. First, a conversation with Attorney General Brnovich, and then a conversation with Jim Lehman coming up next.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Mark Brnovich, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you, Ben, for having me on, brother.
I first off have to say you are in a very difficult position. You've been one of the most applauded, I would say, attorney generals across the country as being someone who has taken on the Supreme Court, won critical arguments before them, you know, had an experience in terms of leading a major, you know, and critical state during difficult times in ways that have been applauded by a lot of people. And yet you are facing a situation right now where Republicans and voters in Arizona seem to be, you know, clashing over a lot of different things in ways that are not necessarily going to benefit you going into this primary. Why do you feel that you are in a position where you can win and you can win over a lot of the people who have, you know, whatever your perspective, bought into the idea that you could have turned the 2020 election on its face?
Well, Ben, thank you for having me on. And there's a bunch to unpack there. But let me just begin by saying what I've said from the very beginning, that Arizonans want an Arizonan representing in the Senate. And no disrespect to anybody else running, but, you know, I'm somebody that grew up here. I'm a first-generation American. I still live in the same middle-class neighborhood right down the street from the high school I attended here in Phoenix. And I think when push comes to shove, people understand that they know me, they know what I stand for, and, you know, 7 out of 10 times, you know, they may agree with me, but 10 out of 10 times, they know where I stand and the positions I take. And I think that's why, even though, you know, I'm not a wealthy guy, so I'm a public school kid, I've been able to win twice statewide. When I ran for AG, I was outspent. I was the underdog. Everyone said I wasn't going to win, but I worked hard and I won. And in fact, in 2018, I actually got more votes than Sinema or McSally after being outspent again. So I'm a principled Arizona conservative. I have a real record, as you mentioned. I've been involved in every major fight here against involving federalism, faith, and freedom. You know, I've been a consistent conservative. And I think at the end of the day, folks recognize that and respect that. But as you also said, you know, one of the things, when I talked to President Trump months ago, I told him that if you believe in securing our border, energy independence, confirming great federal judges, low taxes, low regulation, you know, I have a record, track record on all of those issues, and I'm the guy that's going to fight for those, not some Johnny-come-lately that's saying all the right things right now. But if you want someone that's just going to say something or tell you something you want to hear, I am never going to say something I don't believe. As a prosecutor, I'm not going to say anything that I can't objectively prove. And so we know that in 2020, there's a lot of folks that are upset about what happened, and there are things that we should be doing that I have pointed out, that we should be doing more with voter ID laws. Right now, I'm in lawsuits because the Biden administration sued over Arizona over its proof of citizenship requirement in presidential elections. So we're fighting the Biden administration on that. I argued at the U.S. Supreme Court last year in Brnovich v. DNC, the most important election case in a generation, named after me because I stood up to fight the DNC when they tried to invalidate or undermine election integrity measures. So I stood up, and as a result, you know, restrictions on ballot harvesting, limitations on out-of-precinct voting, the Supreme Court said that's okay, and that's why you're seeing states enact that. So I always remind folks, there's a lot of people out there chirping, talking, but at the end of the day, I'm actually doing.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that is true, of course, of you in this election is that you actually have a record. You have, you know, the experience of being in politics, making decisions, having to defend those decisions. And the people that you're up against, they have the luxury of, frankly, never having to make those kinds of decisions. Does that put you at a disadvantage because you've basically decided to serve the state that you are from, as opposed to people who are parachuting in, basically, and able to redefine any decision they would have made in the past according to their wishes?
Well, you know, it is what it is. And I'm very proud of the fact that, as I said, I grew up here. I was a prosecutor. I started my career, you know, as a gang prosecutor. I worked at a free market think tank called the Goldwater Institute, where, you know, I wrote about the importance of the Constitution and property rights and individual liberty. And, you know, I was a federal prosecutor working in Indian country, prosecuting, you know, not only gambling crimes, but other violent felonies. And, you know, now as the AG, I had never run for any other office, and I'm very proud of our record. I mean, if you look at what we've done then, we've recovered a record amount of restitution for Arizona victims. I was the only state AG to successfully sue Volkswagen in state court, which led to direct restitution to victims that bought Volkswagens, not a bunch of money to the legislature. We've prosecuted a record amount of human trafficking cases. We've been involved in the biggest drug bust in Arizona history as the attorney general. And then, you know, whether it's Brnovich v. DNC at the U.S. Supreme Court, earlier this year, the Supreme Court arguing against Joe Biden's attempt to give benefits to non-citizens. You know, the list goes on. And, of course, you know, pushing back on, you know, job-killing carbon rules that not only President Biden is trying to implement, but what President Biden is doing as well. So, yes, I have a record. And my hope is, at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, they're not going to believe the millions and millions of dollars spent by, you know, out-of-state folks and, you know, folks that have parachuted, as you said, into Arizona. And they'll recognize that, look, Brnovich is a solid rule-of-law conservative. He has a real record, and why should you trust someone that you've never heard of, even, you know, a year and a half or 2 years ago? It's all of a sudden now saying, well, trust me, because someone's spending a lot of money to tell you what you want to hear.
Arizona is a critical state. It's obviously one that's going to attract enormous spending in the fall from both sides. When you look at Mark Kelly and the approach that he has deployed as a senator, you know, it seems very out of step, not just with Arizona, but out of step with Kristen Sinema as well. Somebody who doesn't seem to have any of that contrarian nature, and instead seems to be willing to go along with pretty much everything that Chuck Schumer demands. What do you think of Mark Kelly?
Well, once again, it's all about who best represents Arizona values and who's, you know, consistent on the issues that Arizonans care about. And as you alluded to, Mark Kelly votes with Chuck Schumer 97% of the time. A lot of people talk about that and they think, oh my goodness, that's crazy, that's shocking. Those are East Coast values. But I remind folks all the time that it's not only 97% of the time with Chuckie Schumer. I mean, he's voting with Bernie Sanders 90% of the time. I mean, hell, even Bernie's wife doesn't agree with him 9 out of 10 times. But that's how out of touch Mark Kelly is. But I emphasize to folks, it is important that we have a real Arizonan with real principles and real values running against Mark Kelly. Because, you know, unfortunately, you have folks that maybe aren't known to Arizonans. And frankly, the stuff that we do know or the stuff that we're hearing about really is out of step with what I call Arizona values, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. I mean, I don't think you can have a major party candidate saying, like one of the candidates that I'm running against said that, you know, that women don't earn as much because they don't do dangerous jobs. And when I heard him say that, I thought, my goodness, my sister, you know, worked for Rural Metro Fire Department, you know, and you know, she was a paramedic. And you're telling me that she didn't do a dangerous job? And, you know, and I think about people like my wife, you know, who was a prosecutor and now's a federal judge. I mean, you know, any job a man could do, a woman could do as well, especially as a father of daughters. And so when I hear someone say that, I think, oh, my goodness, they're out of touch. And then you throw on top of it all of the crap that he has said that's racist and, you know, plays to a far right of the party that no Republican should ever be playing footsies with. I just think it's unacceptable. And someone like that cannot win, cannot beat Mark Kelly.
So let me ask you a little bit about this situation in Arizona, because it's frustrating to me. I'm a Virginian, but obviously my wife is an Arizonan, and we feel like the state is being lost before our eyes, that it's being taken over by Californians who are moving in, that the DNC is going to, and all of the other affiliate organizations are going to spend millions of dollars to try to, you know, prevent any Republican from being the representative, and that it might become, like Georgia, a place that they could, you know, potentially hold out against what is likely to be a red wave, you know, and to see a situation where, like, states like Nevada are, you know, more clear Republican pickups than Arizona is really disturbing for us, because we love Arizona as a state. We don't want to be represented by Democrats. We don't want to see, you know, Katie Hobbs win. We do not want to see Mark Kelly win. And yet, the way that this fractiousness has played out within the Republican coalition, the coalition of the right and right-leaning independents, really depresses us, because we feel like that's setting us up for that reality. How will you navigate that? How will you prevent that from happening if you are the nominee?
Because I have always been about the principles and the ideas. And I tell folks all the time that, you know, when it comes to federalism, faith, freedom, I mean, those are not something that someone invented just 4 years ago. I mean, those are timeless principles that, you know, people like Ronald Reagan fought for and articulated and won in landslide elections. I mean, my goodness, even, you know, when you talk about low taxes and a strong military, you know, a strong stance against communism, I mean, that's what John F. Kennedy, the Democratic Party, stood for the 1960s. So it wasn't that long ago. And I sincerely believe that when you have people that can stand up and articulate and defend our Arizona conservative values, we win. But I definitely agree with you, Ben. When you look at what's happening, you know, we do have people coming here from California. They're moving out of, you know, a state where, you know, you have high crime, high taxes, high regulation. And I remind folks all the time from California that high taxes and lots of regulation don't work where you have an ocean. They ain't going to work in the desert. And so, you know, let's leave those left-wing ideas there. But, you know, you mentioned Georgia. I think of Colorado. You know, as an Arizonan, you know, in my lifetime, we saw what happened in Colorado, where when you nominate, quite frankly, bad candidates, candidates that are on the margins, that, you know, are one-inch candidates, you end up losing. And then it starts this cycle where, you know, the Democrats or the left, they start controlling statewide offices, and that helps them leverage that to controlling the legislature, and then they, you know, have more fundraising and more power, and then it starts this vicious spiral where you become, you know, a marginalized party. And the reality is, I don't like politics. As I said, I never ran for office before I ran for AG, but I love this state. I have a deep love and passion for the state. And when I first got into this, I told people, I never thought I'd run for the Senate. I mean, if you'd asked me even 10 years ago, I mean, it's crazy, the notion that, you know, people like Sean Hannity sometimes make fun of my name on the air on my website, you know, because they can't pronounce it and spell it, although Sean has been supporting me, just so but a funny last name, to think you can go from one generation to literally speaking Cherokee Creation as your first language in your house, you know, going to Shadow Mountain High School and Desert Cove Elementary School to being the state's chief law enforcement officer in Oregon Supreme Court, and now in a toss-up race for the U.S. Senate. What an amazing country. And that's why I want to return. And I think that we have state candidates that stand up that are positive conservatives, for lack of a better word, that are aspirational. And they remind us of the goodness of this country. We win. And just even, for example, last week I was on Telemundo. I'm doing some more interviews on Hispanic radio this week. And, you know, we've had a lot of African-American volunteers on our campaign. And, you know, some folks are like, well, wait a minute, those aren't traditional Republican groups. And look, I am all about the ideas and the principles. And, you know, things like low taxes, low regulation, lowering gas prices, being able to afford a house or afford your rent, those aren't Republican values. Those are American values. And we need to do a better job of outreach and growing the party and focusing on the ideas instead of...
There are a lot of people who are running for office across the country, but particularly in the Southwest, who are promising a lot of things when it comes to what they're going to do related to the border. That, you know, obviously this is a disaster. It's just, you know, you can't deny it. You just look at the numbers. It's clearly a disaster. But the Biden administration is not doing anything to address it. What can you conceivably do in your new role, if you were able to ascend to that level, to change that? And including the possibility, potentially, as some people have started to address, and I'm grateful for this, you know, impeaching Alejandro Mayorkas, impeaching the, you know, people who are making the decisions related to our border, or, you know, basically, you know, steps that you could take to hold the Biden administration accountable when it comes to these types of decisions that, thanks to our system, they have to make.
Well, we should all recognize and give it the premise, this premise that Secretary Mayorkas is the least competent of people within the Biden administration. And that says an awful lot, because we know that this administration is the worst one, maybe even worse than Jimmy Carter's. Anyway, so as you know, we've been involved in a lot of lawsuits. We've sued President Biden over his refusal to keep building the wall. We've sued him over his attempt to rescind Title 42. And, you know, just as a kind of like side note on the state of the Republican Party here in Arizona, our office, we literally led and argued the lawsuit that stopped our lawyers, our office in federal court, stopped Joe Biden from rescinding Title 42, took on the president. And yet within, you know, the party here, like not one single person gave the sitting Republican AG any props for that. That's just one example of how fractured things are here. But once again, I tell folks, we're going to focus on what we're doing. So we stopped Joe Biden from rescinding Title 42. I argued at the U.S. Supreme Court when he tried to give benefits to non-citizens. We've sued him over the asylum rule. We've sued him over the permanent guidance where he wants to stop deporting people that are felons or being released from prison. And so I remind folks all the time that regardless of your position on immigration, what Joe Biden is doing right now is undermining the very reason why people want to come here. The reason why people want to come here from so many countries or, you know, fleeing communism, fleeing tyranny, is because America is about the rule of law. That consistency and certainty of the law is what's so important. And when Joe Biden decriminalizes and incentivizes people coming here, it undermines the very basis for that foundation of what made this country great. And, you know, practically speaking, when you have 3 million people illegally entering the country since Joe Biden came to office, and more than 800,000 gotaways. These are people we don't know who they are, that are, you know, slipping through the desert, you know, usually males dressed in camouflage, all black clothing, people on the terror watches coming in. It's unsustainable, and we are paying the cost, not only with the treasury of our taxpayer dollars to support this, but we're also paying the cost in human lives. Because don't ever forget, just this year alone, more than 7,000 pounds of fentanyl have been seized. So this is just the stuff we know about. And to put that in context, Ben, 2 milligrams of fentanyl can kill someone. That's literally enough fentanyl to kill the entire population of the United States. So this is urgent. This is a national security issue. And what I've said, and I'm on record months ago saying this, when I'm in the U.S. Senate, in places like Pima County, where the number one cause of death now amongst young people is drug and fentanyl overdoses, I will read the names of every single person dying every day in Arizona, not because I want to, but because I have to, because the rest of the country needs to be made aware that this is Arizona's problem, but it's becoming everyone's problem. And whether it's a judicial nominee, whether it's a cabinet official, whether it's an ambassador, whoever it is, I will not vote on any single nominee until Joe Biden gets serious about doing what he needs to do and securing our southern border and just starting following the law. The second thing is that you alluded to impeaching Mayorkas. I've said this, I'm on record. If Secretary Mayorkas won't do his job, and we know the people that are dangerous and criminals and gangsters are coming into our country and harming and undermining the safety of our communities, then yes, he should absolutely be impeached. And the Senate should have hearings on what he knew and when he knew it. And I also think that one of the things the Senate has is the power of the purse. And so whether that's having hearings with DHS officials or DOJ officials, we need to figure out why they aren't doing their job. And if that means cutting off funding for them until they do their job, or even having hearings so we can get to the bottom of why isn't the Department of Justice prosecuting people for illegally entering or reentering this country as they did even during the Obama administration. And we saw a decline when the DOJ got serious about doing its job. So there are several things in the near term that we can do, what I can do as a U.S. Senator by myself. And long term, we need to make sure that we are voting right away and making sure that we are on record as Republicans standing for border security against the lawlessness that Mark Kelly and Chuck Schumer have wrought upon not only Arizona, but the entire country.
I don't know Blake Masters. I've never met him. I've never had the ability to interview him. He seems to be pretty selective about those interviews. And he said some things that are concerning to me in recent history, you know, in, 15, 12 years ago, posting on message boards saying that he, you know, opposes getting rid of Roe versus Wade, saying that he supports open borders and the like. It's really disturbing to me and to my wife that someone like that could parachute in to Arizona from California and have potentially the nomination of the Republican Party by dint of basically a performance art kind of approach to depicting the way that they stand on a bunch of issues.
It's from San Francisco.
I'm disturbed by it. I mean, am I unjustified in being disturbed by it? Is this a situation where, you know, I should just get around to the idea that carpetbagging from San Francisco is just something that we should totally be okay with?
Well, from your lips to God's ears, Ben. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. Think about how frustrated I am and my friends and my family and my mom's friends from church. And, yeah, it's look, honestly, I had never met him, never knew him until we were at some debate forum. And, you know, you kind of say hi to someone. And, look, I mean, I think Arizonans are smart enough. They should be smart enough to know. You get some guy that parachutes in that, like, when I was at the Goldwater Institute, you know, 15 years ago, writing essays for National Review about gas pricing, eliminating federal gas tax, and, you know, having more deregulation so we can have more drilling and exploration to become energy independent. He was in, you know, the Bay Area, you know, writing about open borders and, you know, who knows what. And I just think it's the height of hypocrisy for someone now to act like they're a border hawk and talk about border security when I was running for AG in 2014 and fighting the Obama administration. He was living in a sanctuary city, you know, writing books on the brilliance of whatever, the virtues of monopoly. And so monopolies, I mean, so this, it's crazy stuff. I mean, you know, Ben, if there were just one thing like, okay, well, you got some rich tech guy being supported by an out-of-state billionaire parachuting in to buy a seat. You know, in Arizona, we have a long history of rejecting self-funders. And one thing we don't like more than self-funders is people funded from New York and California. So you think, well, this isn't going to work. And then you throw on top of it all the stuff that's come out. I mean, my God, who quotes Karen Goering to the freaking Jewish Insider? I mean, who praises the Unabomber while they're running for the U.S. Senate? I mean, praises God. I mean, it's just...
It's pretty amazing.
I mean, if you went down and you told people take away the one big endorsement and the huge honeypot of money. You take that away, and you said, this guy is running for the Senate in Arizona. He believes da 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 da. You'd be like, oh my God, did David Duke move to Arizona? I mean, it's pretty, I probably shouldn't have said that. Now I'm probably going to get sued because he's got a bunch of lawyers.
Here's what I'll say about it. I recognize who he is because it's like I was a young nerd too, you know. Like, I mean, I understand, you know, someone who is motivated by a lot of these kind of nerdy impulses, and they don't really think about things in the future. That, you know, they may say something like, "Well, you know, Ted Kaczynski had some good points about how our, you know, technocracy is taking over our lives," or something like that. At the same time, it's like, that's not what we want in a political leader. We don't want somebody who's, you know, engaged in this and that, in that degree. And look, I am, you know, very much, you know, I don't take sides in terms of primary battles, but I do think it's very telling that, you know, when it comes to this election, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to Jim, and I'm not talking to Blake. Because Blake doesn't want to talk. And that's the same thing that he's done when it comes to a lot of different, you know, media approaches. I think that he doesn't want to deal with those kinds of questions. But when you get to the Senate, if you get to the Senate, that's not something you can avoid. You have to take it on. You can't just, you know, deal with it the way that you might like to deal with a tech company.
Well, no, I appreciate that, Ben. And, you know, I would be remiss, I'm so bad at this, to remind people that my website is BurnoForAZ.com, BRNOFORAZ.com, or what we call the Hannity variant, which Mark Levin, who's also endorsed me, likes to say, if you go to MarkBForAZ.com, you can also
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate you taking the time to join me today.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
And now my conversation with businessman Jim Lehman. Jim Lehman, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today.
Been great to be here. Great race out here in Arizona, as you know, that controls the levers to the U.S. Senate in the next session.
Yeah, it's a race that's going to attract a lot of attention, obviously, in November, but also now in terms of determining who's going to go up against Senator Mark Kelly. First off, I just want to ask you a little bit about your own background, because you're someone who, you know, hasn't been necessarily a national political name prior to deciding to run for this office. Tell us a little bit about where you came from and your family.
Sure, been in Arizona 13 years. Originally, I'm a farm boy from the southeast, and played a little college linebacker, outside linebacker for Coach Bryant at Alabama. Got a civil engineering degree, went into the military, 6 years officer, paratrooper, as well as an engineer officer over in Germany during the Cold War. Exit into the power industry and then worked my way up from field engineer to be president, second largest coal and gas engineering construction company in the country. And we did great, highly efficient coal gas until Obama decides, you know, that that's not good for the country, which, of course, we know how that worked out. Moved coal and gas guys to Arizona, and we built our own company, sold it last year, billion-dollar company, to make sure we focus on this full-time. And you're right, Ben, never been in politics, never wanted to be. The largest donor in Arizona to conservatives from President Trump, Freedom Caucus, Arizona House and Senate majorities, but prefer to do it that way. But we must beat Mark Kelly. And when I looked at the candidates, we did not have one that, you know, can go up against that. He's a veteran, and of course, he has Soros' machine with him. Mm-hmm. So we had to jump in this race, and fortunately, since first week of March, been leading, and we're going to take it to Kelly here, and starting a week from today, yesterday.
I know that there's a lot of people who looked at Mark Kelly and they saw a guy who had, you know, basically a good personal story, something that would you know, elevate him certainly as a potential candidate. But when it came time to actually serve in the U.S. Senate, he seems to be someone who's really been out of touch with a lot of Arizona values and priorities. And, you know, say what you will about Senator Sinema, she's someone who seems to have a better bead on what the state priorities may be in a number of different areas. It's one of the reasons that she's, you know, attracted some applause from different corners. Why do you think Senator Kelly's so out of step with the state?
Well, Ben, you're certainly on point. You know, he ran as a moderate, and then, of course, we have all those positions he took on the campaign trail 2 years ago on tape, and our intent is to ensure that people understand this is what he said. He got to D.C. with Schumer in the crowd, and, of course, he voted 100% with Schumer last year and 97% this year. That is not Arizona values by a long stretch. He's pro-open border. His staff are even bragging Politico about busing illegals from the border into the heartland. The guy voted to, outlaw right-to-work states, which, of course, Arizona is very proudly that way, benefits the illegals paid by taxpayers. Totally out of step. And as a veteran, Ben, and he is, that's one of the essentials to win in Arizona. You know, one of the highest percentage of veterans in the home or one removed, like an in-law or a cousin. In the country. Very important here. We've got three big bases, four small, but also the retiree base in the veteran side. And I intend, of course, to go toe-to-toe in that. And my resume, plus the fact is, being a business guy, I've created tens of thousands of great American jobs, re-onshored manufacturing, which we need to get busy doing in this country on a bigger scale. And also, just from a philanthropic standpoint, I've been a big giver. I've got a big heart. Doing a lot of that in Arizona, which will come out, a very sharp contrast with Arizona values and myself versus how Kelly lied to us when he was running. And everyone in Arizona will get to hear it.
There's been a real highlight, I think, put on Arizona along with the state of Georgia, where you have a number of Democrats who are basically hoping that you'll have nominees who have significant problems going up against Democrats, incumbents, who they hope to be able to defend. And there is concern that I've heard expressed within the Beltway and by those who, political consultants and the class of folks who pay a lot of attention to elections, that Arizona could end up being a state where, even with the wind at the backs of Republicans, that they are not able to actually win these seats, in part because there's going to be so much spending on the Democratic side. You mentioned George Soros and everybody else who's going to go and back up Mark Kelly, but also that they are concerned about nominating, flawed candidates to go up against them. Why do you think that you're the best candidate to take on Senator Kelly?
Well, I would agree in the case of my competitor, Ben. He has written fairly extensively about open borders, open drug trade before he declared his candidacy for the race. And that's Masters. In my case, and Jim Layman, myself, as the candidate, a veteran, a strong one, as a paratrooper and served overseas, plus a business builder, the only one in the race who's created thousands, tens of thousands of jobs. Financials are not a problem. As I said, I've been building billion-dollar business in the power industry over years. Sold that last year in order to do this, make sure that we have the resources we need. Have met with those in D.C. who can also bring the capital. As a nominee, they're going to come hard. They're going to come strong. With Masters, you're right. They're going to take a pass. They're going to look for another state to try to close the gap. Those are few and far between, as you know. But we poll very well against Kelly, Ben. Masters in Burnett's not so much. This is really down to a race of myself and Masters. We're up about 2 points over him now. And then when you look at the actual general polling, which we've not done yet, but me and the nation have, we're toe-to-toe with Kelly, and I haven't even started in on him with the ad showing what he said, what he did, and what our policies are.
I was in Arizona just a couple weeks ago and spent a couple weeks there. It is obviously a state where there's, there's signs everywhere. You see everybody's sort of jockeying for position. And I think that, one of the things that is, a concern going into this is that, you want to be able to hit the right marks, to be able to have the right relationship with the people in the state and that kind of thing, to speak to the issues and priorities that they have. Obviously one of the things that they're concerned about is the situation as it relates to our economy, to see this. The White House denies it's a recession, but obviously it meets every measure of a recession. The latest numbers that we have on inflation and the like, these are concerns that I heard across the state when I was there. how can you connect with the American people on that front to really offer them a very real promise about addressing those concerns, you know, given that, you know, you're going to be dealing potentially with, you know, a slim margin in the Senate, a Republican House, perhaps, but still a president in Joe Biden who's going to block a lot of your policies?
Well, Ben, we calculated yesterday, last 64 weeks, we've almost been around the equator three times during this race here in Arizona. So listening to the people, making sure we have it dialed in to what our policies are to match what Arizona wants. Number one is, you know, as we mentioned just a moment ago, secure the southern border, stop the crime, followed very closely now by inflation, which has turned into recession. Puts the country in a very bad spot that Biden and Kelly have managed to orchestrate from a roaring economy to one with high interest rates, high inflation, and now a recession. That's a difficult job to manage. You best send a business guy, myself, to the U.S. Senate, not someone like Kelly, as a veteran, then became a government worker for the rest of his life. A little small business here that didn't get off the ground. But someone who understands macroeconomics, someone who's built billion-dollar businesses, owned no debt, and been very profitable in doing it, passing along the wealth. So in D.C., Ben, one big difference is that I have not had to take PAC or lobbyist dollars as my competitors have done, and, of course, as Kelly does. So I'll be there for the American people, the people, the citizens of Arizona in this great country, and not beholding to those lobbyist PAC groups. So understanding what it takes to get this budget in balance so we can get our spending down in this country, we cannot continue to have to compete in the private sector with outrageous government spending. We send $4 trillion. My gosh, Ben, that's enough and some more. This woke supply chain that we could fix tomorrow, things like a truck in a California port can't be offloaded on from a cargo onto a cargo container onto it unless the truck is less than 5 years old. I mean, that's just craziness. Things like our energy policy, I know that extremely well. I've been in it 30 years. You know, we could fix that in weeks to months with drilling of the public lands, get our pipelines moving again, and stop this idiotic talk about shoving a Green New Deal down our throats. Now, as I said, when I came out of coal and gas and moved to those great guys and ladies over into big, large-scale solar, not on the subsidy side. We had to compete to win. We do storage and some gas with it as well. But you can't just move this grid the way they're trying to do. It was a very incremental process. We're moving about 1% a year, low-cost renewable, blending it with great fossil fuels. That was working fine, and I intend in the Senate to understanding it the way I do to make sure the other senators know we have a path out of this crazy recession, and we could do it quickly. I intend to bring that knowledge to the Senate, Ben.
You mentioned the situation on the border. It seems to me that, you know, obviously there's going to be some people within the Republican coalition who show up, you know, in the House of Representatives, certainly, you know, who are, you know, of the mindset that Joe Biden's such a bad president, he's so unpopular, and we ought to impeach him. But it does seem to me to be far more realistic to ask the question about the potential impeachment of a number of members of his cabinet, particularly Secretary Mayorkas and potentially Attorney General Garland. When you look at that as a potential strategy, if you were a U.S. senator, is that something that you would be willing to pursue, just given the level of dysfunction and, you know, frankly, you know, the so many decisions that have gone sideways, it seems like, under this Department of Homeland Security?
Well, Ben, now you point out two that are front and center with this invasion. I'm sure the policy is coming from Biden and his Marxist handlers and, of course, Mark Kelly aiding and abetting. But we're under an invasion. Make no mistake about it, 52,000 a week. And I've been endorsed by the National Border Patrol Council, 21,000 members. Brandon Judd is active on the campaign trail with us. I understand the numbers well. I've been in there at least a dozen times to understand it hands-on. So getting rid of those two is an absolute necessity to get someone in those two positions that understand what this invasion is causing. You know, Ben, we've got basically a 9/11 situation every week in America now with, you know, 2,600 dying of drug overdose. 88%, according to Border Patrol, comes through the southern border, in addition to our spiraling crime rates of 600 homicides a week. Now, those two together, man, that's 9/11. In that perspective, I will ensure doesn't go unnoticed, U.S. Senate, for getting those two removed. Let me also say, Ben, that the policy of remain in Mexico that we had under Trump in 2020 worked. You know, we were down to 2,000 a week getting their cases adjudicated in the country they came from. As the border guys say, Jim, the taxpayers have been generous to us. We have the manpower, we have the drones, we have the equipment, we have everything we need. Yes, they'd love to have the wall finished, but first and foremost, get that policy that Biden tore up, called Remain in Mexico, codified into law in U.S. Senate. Ben, I intend to do everything possible to be as disruptive of the business in U.S. Senate until that is secured. Because this invasion is way worse than, you know, even the media shows. And I'm talking military-age males from Russia, China, Czechoslovakia, everywhere around the world, Congo, Venezuela, coming through that southern border. Getting the police and sheriffs have endorsed. I've seen the passports myself.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, one of the big things that obviously is front of mind for a lot of folks today, something that, you know, as both candidate and then as president, Donald Trump, you know, put front and center, is concerns about the policies that we've had related to China. Policies that were for so long, you know, very tolerant of the idea of a rising China, trying to make, a trade relationship with them, one that would work to our benefit. Now we see a situation where, you know, a China that is increasingly economically unstable, you know, is really rattling the saber towards Taiwan. They are, you know, supportive of a lot of America's enemies around the world. And they certainly are, you know, engaged in behavior when it comes to stealing our technology, when it comes to, you know, flooding the necessary chemicals to make fentanyl, you know, into these Mexican cartels, and by dint of that, you know, killing a lot of Americans, and frankly invading our culture, whether it comes to their power over Hollywood, or through, you know, tech sources like TikTok, which seem to be of increasing concern for American parents, the way that they are warping our children, teenagers' minds. When you look at the issue of confronting China, where does it rank for you in terms of the importance of the issues that you would face in the U.S. Senate? How do you believe that we ought to approach that task, given how daunting it truly is?
And as we said almost every day on the campaign trail, on our website as well, is that China is the enemy of America. When I served in the military, we declared Soviet Union the enemy, and we dealt with them accordingly, and we took them down without firing a shot. We must do the same with China. You know, their objectives are evil, and their intent is to, you know, be the world dominating force, and the U.S. stands in their way, and that's what they're doing, inch by inch, in the past, and now maybe it's more like yard by yard, of how they are absolutely doing everything subversive to this country. You know, over 300,000 Communist Chinese Party visas in this country. Now, they're called Chinese visas, but you and I both know no one gets anything in that country unless the Communist Chinese Party says so. So they're in our country, they're in our culture, particularly in big tech. They're in media, they're in the stock market, they're buying our farmland. All of this needs to be stopped, and coming there without having, lobbyists or PAC dollars on even Masters is being backed by globalist money who is, again, pro-open borders, pro-open, you know, trade with China. That is not good for America. We have to call this like it is. I intend to do so and be very firm that we've got to remove them from our country. It will be painful, Ben, because we've so sold out from politicians and Wall Street for so many years. But we have to do this, get our mining back, get our manufacturing back. Things that, and as you said, culturally, we've got to make a hard turn in this country or we're going to lose it. So I understand how they work, having come from the power sector and being able to be the leader in pushing back against them in that industry.
You know, I've had the opportunity to interview a number of different Senate candidates who across the country in the last couple of months. And there's a question that I've put to all of them that I'll put to you now, which is that you are going to be potentially part of a new presence in Washington that is not beholden, as you've stressed during this interview, to potentially the existing institutions or the PACs or the political organizations that have been around for a long time. We've seen the dominance of both the baby boom generation and even, you know, Joe Biden's the generation before that, in terms of holding power in Washington for so very long, you know, the likes of Nancy Pelosi and the rest of her leadership team. But that also includes, you know, people on the Republican side like Mitch McConnell. And one of the things that you could end up with is a number of new faces in Washington, including yourself potentially, that represent, you know, a younger look at what's going on there, and potentially, you know, wanting to go in different directions or having different priorities policy-wise. Do you think it's time for some generational changes in the way that America does politics that moves away from the folks who've been around for decades upon decades making these decisions for us, given that there seems to be such an appetite among the American people for change?
Well, Ben, I bring the best of both, right? Fortunately, not beholden to anyone there, and bringing an outside view from business, and been quite successful at doing it with building great teams. You know, from college football to military and business, it's all about team. But to me, that team is very strongly rooted in the citizens of Arizona and our country. Mm-hmm. And for too long, their voice has been muted. As you mentioned, the PACs and lobbyists in control of many in D.C. As I've said, I will vote for the most conservative majority leader in the U.S. Senate. We need to understand that the American people are crying out very loudly, particularly those who work and pay the taxes, and regardless of, you know, Latino, Caucasian, African-American, the people who are absolutely abiding by the laws are up to their ears with having two systems of justice, two systems of censorship and big tech, that D.C. does not seem to be listening to them. And I intend to be a very strong voice, Ben, on that Senate floor. I'm not bringing a team of young college Republicans for staff either. And I'm bringing people that understand, experts in these policy areas that we're talking about on your show and those on our website, are bringing our manufacturing back, mining, securing that southern border, getting the crime down, getting this inflation and recession fixed quickly. We're going to be a force to be reckoned with on that Senate floor, because I am, I'm not a quiet individual. I'm a strong team player. My guys, that team better be listening to the American people.
Jim Lehman, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Yeah, thank you, brother, and look forward to seeing you in Arizona, hopefully soon.
More of the Ben Domenech podcast right after this. So many polls have shown that Blake Masters is the candidate who actually is in the lead when it comes to this Arizona GOP primary. It's difficult to poll in Arizona for a number of different reasons. There's some populations that are difficult to reach or to find. And so the polling there tends to be a little less reliable. I think it's fair to say that a lot of people feel that Jim Lehman and Blake Masters are basically a coin flip proposition, and that Mark Brnovich has fallen back a little bit in recent months. But this is certainly a race where, you know, we would have liked to talk to Blake Masters about a number of different things. He's a very young man who came to Arizona relatively recently from California, where he's spent virtually his entire career working for tech billionaire Peter Thiel. Blake Masters is an interesting candidate for a number of reasons. He's used as a symbol of the rise of national conservatism along the lines of Senator Josh Hawley and would-be Senator from Ohio, J.D. Vance, who we obviously have talked to a number of times on this program. Blake's also someone who I find to be relatively interesting because of the different writings that he's done over the years. He's said some things that people have found to be perhaps a little odd, but that I would have liked to hear him explain. You'll find them featured in advertisements and things of that nature, you know, including his endorsement of the idea of Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, as being an interesting thinker, not someone who, you know, you would necessarily expect a politician to say. I will say that Ted Kaczynski is someone who certainly challenges a lot of the techno-futurist thought processes in a way that they're still, you know, being wrestled with by some people in Silicon Valley. But this was a situation where I would have liked to ask Blake Masters a number of different questions. Questions along the lines of what changed about your approach to border policy, something that, you know, as recently as, less, you know, 15 years ago, he was clearly an open borders libertarian and in describing him as such in internet postings. I also would ask him about his concerns that were expressed in those posts about the choice of Justice John Roberts at the time by George W. Bush, mostly factoring into the decision to be made regarding Roe versus Wade, which at the time Blake Masters said, was an item of concern for him if Roe versus Wade was going to go away, and that the abortion issue was one where he took basically the pro-choice, pro-abortion side of the argument. I would have liked to hear him address these different things, and I'm sure that he probably has good answers. He seems like a smart guy, and I'm sure that he's, you know, addressed these things on the campaign trail. But his approach in recent months has really been to shut out a lot of different members of the media, including local Arizona media, much to the frustration of those who are trying to cover this race. Now, here's what I'll say about that. It's obviously up to every candidate, whether they want to talk to the media, friendly or not, people who are going to be asking gotcha questions or people who are going to be asking, as I try to do, very straightforward questions, things that are not trying to come out of left field, but are designed to elicit a response that is informative and that is useful and that really helps you understand what the person on the other end of the question is really thinking. Unfortunately, that's not what we are getting this time around because Blake Masters made the decision to do this kind of blackout. One thing I will say about that, when you come to Washington, D.C., and when you are voting on the Senate floor, when you're walking back and forth between your Senate office and Capitol Hill, it's very difficult to avoid those kinds of questions. It's very difficult to, dodge the types of people who are lobbing questions at you from different sources. And I certainly think that as someone who's trying out for the job of being a U.S. senator, who's going to need to communicate a message and not just be, someone who, gives speeches on the Senate floor, makes votes or the like, but someone who tries to shift the argument, tries to shift the priorities, as, others within the U.S. Senate have, in terms of their media appearances and the like, you can't just take the questions from the people who you know are going to ask you softballs or not going to deal with any of the difficulties that you face as a candidate. Look, from my perspective, we try to, on this program, ask people questions that are fair, that are clear, and that are not designed to undermine people, but designed to elicit an informative response. I wish we could have gotten that from Blake Masters. Unfortunately, he demurred and said he did not have time to talk to us. I hope when he's a U.S. senator, he has a different attitude, if that's the way things play out. I'm Ben Domenech. You've been listening to another edition of the Ben Domenech Podcast. We'll be back soon with more to dive back into the fray.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.